Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
It's a brilliant summer plan as you. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X podcast race review. You might notice something a little different. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board. Thanks to the folks at Racer X for putting us up and letting us do this show. Again, flyracing.com, use the code PULPMX when you're checking out to save with those guys. Cooper Webb, yeah, where's Fly Racing? RJ Hampshire, Chance Hymus, Dean Wilson had a great race this weekend wearing Fly Racing, from the Formula helmet all the way to the boots. They've got you covered. And if you type in PULPMX when you go to check out, you will save. So thanks to the folks at flyracing.com for titling this podcast. We'll tell you more about Maxxis Tires and Renthal Bars and motorsport.com later on in the show. But yeah, the debut of the video race review pod. We're going to talk about the East Rutherford Supercross top to bottom. I'm Steve Mathis. Hope you guys like the YouTube stuff. If you still like the audio, don't worry. We're putting up the audio also, so it's okay. But with me, as you can see, it's not a surprise now. Before, you weren't sure. But now you can just see him. It's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, so for those listening to the show, as you have been probably since the 2011 season, we've been doing this for 15 years. Steve, tell them the YouTube channel they can now watch it on if they're listening.
PulpMX.com YouTube channel. Yeah.
Okay, PulpMX. PulpMX YouTube channel?
PulpMX YouTube channel,
okay.
Yeah.
YouTube.com PulpMX? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. And then for those watching that are like, aren't there enough moto pods? I can't believe these three started a moto pod. No, we have had one since 2011. We were the first. We just weren't on YouTube until today.
Yeah, we're just trying it out. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. But the YouTube people have demanded that they want to see us. I don't know why. I'm a big podcast listener. I listen to a lot of sports podcasts. I never watch three guys talking into a camera. I don't care.
You haven't? You haven't ever watched ESPN Radio or anything? You've never watched?
Never.
First Take. You never watched any of those shows your whole life. You've never watched a show about sports.
First Take's a TV show. Yeah.
That's the same thing. It's the same thing.
They got graphics. They got race highlights. They got footage, all of that. That's Jason Thomas, by the way, starting off the video show without an introduction, just coming right into it.
Well, you're making outrageous claims, so I feel like I just have to insert myself into the conversation.
It's a podcast. We're a podcast. Just listen to it. But if you want to watch it, cool. Watch it on YouTube, and we'll discuss New York, East Rutherford, New Jersey Supercross, and all the cool things that happened there, man. So, yeah, thanks for checking out. Also, thank you to our producer, Michael Antonovich, from Course Heading. Anton's building this whole thing because I don't know what to do with the graphics. And so you've seen some graphics. You're going to see graphics. And I don't know. He's going to put some Align photos.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Hold on. So we're going to have graphics now, like a TV show?
That's a logo. We're going to have like a logo.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to draw a parallel for this experience you've never had before of watching people talk on TV.
No, Weege, back me up. Right, Weege?
They're not called podcasts. That's the only thing I can, at this point, to come up with to decipher.
Hold on. No. Every show pretty much is now in podcast form. They have a podcast recording that goes out after. So it's the same thing.
It's like trying to figure out what's a computer monitor and what's a television at this point. They're the same thing.
I've never seen people on TV talk to each other before.
No, crazy. I don't. I listen to podcasts. I don't watch my podcasts. because they are TV versions. Like you said, there's TV versions of my podcast, but I will never watch it. I'll just listen to it because they're not doing nothing. They're just sitting there with a microphone like we are. We're just sitting here like idiots.
Just no, we're going to have graphics.
We're going to fly racing graphics. By the way, I'm wearing the Maple Leaf shirt for the first show because the playoffs start tonight. The run to the cup starts tonight. I like what I see. Great year. We won the division for the second time in 27 years. We won the division. And, yep, things are looking good. So go Leafs go. The cup's coming home. Looking forward to it. Yep.
First video ever for this show. And all the sponsors involved, and he wears a Leaf shirt. It's just tragic.
March to the cup starts now.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots to get into.
Nobody gets swept.
Weed, you were pit side guy this weekend at the race. JT, obviously pit reporter. But I don't want to get too far into this thing before we talk about a buddy, Jerry Robin. He's got a long road ahead of him. Nasty crash in practice. There were some real booters out there. A little weird jump faces here and there. I'm not blaming the track at all. But and it was a real three in that was giving some guys some problems. And Jerry drug his rear brake and came up a little short, landed on his head, and as he explained in his Instagram, he doesn't have any feeling right now. The spinal cord is intact. Either way, Jerry's got a long road ahead of him. He's a great dude. He was having a good year. We'd made fun of Jerry over the years for not being consistent. Well, this year he found some consistency, and bummer, our sports sucks sometimes. So thinking about you, Jerry.
Yeah, that's rough. For someone who's raced as long as I did and I'll just be honest, it was a constant fear for me, was this sort of serious injury. You know, you're scared about getting hurt all the time, but this level of injury is always in the back of your mind somewhere. And it's terrible. It's literally like one of the worst aspects, if not the worst aspect, this sport has to offer. And you hate to see this happen.
Yeah, and it's obviously terrible for Jerry, and definitely thoughts out to him, because Jerry is a good guy and kind of a hero, right? Like, I think he's one of those, there are privateer guys that people, you know, down in the order, we've heard all this drama of like who deserves to be there, who should be there. Jerry's legit. He knows how to ride. He's a main event guy. So there's full respect there. I had this conversation actually, JT, I think when we were rehearsing, about how, to the point you're making, there are many sports where injuries happen all the time. Like in football, they tear ACLs all the time. But I don't think that any of the players start the game saying, oh, please, dear God, don't let today be the day. Like, it's just something that may or may not happen, but I don't even think it runs to their mind. They want to win the game. That's the weird thing, I think, about this sport. We talk about how the heart rate goes up before the gate drops. That's got to be part of that mix, that piece, right?
There was never a day that I went riding or raced that I didn't think about would I end up in the hospital that day. Not one time.
Yeah.
In, you know, 16 years as a professional and probably before then as an amateur, did I not think about it that day of riding?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, you know, it's there. We all know the risk we're assuming, but it doesn't make it any less horrible when it happens to somebody we all care about.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about it and I'm just a slow plus 50 B vet rider, right? And absolutely goes through my mind. I'm jumping tabletops, but you never know when someone else. Yeah, it's just like JT said, it's the worst thing about our sport. So hang in there, Jerry. We're trying to do something cool for the privateer race. Obviously, Jerry won't be out there, but we're working on trying to do something a little unique so that we can still help Jerry and have his presence out there on the track in some way. So stay tuned for that, for the Yamaha LCQ race before Denver. Okay, with that being said, Sexton wins again. Weege, if he wins out, they will tie, and he has the title.
It is true. I mean, we did the math. I absolutely hate the math. For those watching the show for the first time, there are two things I hate in life, only two, which is predicting someone will win five races in a row and another guy's going to finish second five times in a row, because that's only happened one time in the 52-year history of Supercross. Don't come at me with 2003, because I'll just come at you with every other year in the history of the sport. And I also don't like predicting mud races on a Tuesday for a race on Saturday. But that said, this is actually the fear, because we've had this whole Cooper's so tenacious, Cooper's so smart, Cooper has racecraft, Chase Sexton has speed. But to be honest, the speed, I feel like Coop had pretty much neutralized it. He's caught him when he needed to many times. This was the first oh, he just can't go with him that I've seen since maybe the first couple rounds of the season. That's a scary thought.
Yeah, and really it boiled down to the whoops, right? Like, Coop's been better at the whoops. He's worked on whoops. He admitted after the race that that's where it was. These were the nasty East Coast, rutted ass, you know, broken down whoops, two sections of them. Now, qualifying, Coop was good. Jay Coop got him overall, but Coop was second. Chase was third, I believe. Cooper Webb looked great, but as they got broken down, Chase kept blitzing. Coop couldn't nail it, JT, and he knew it after the race. That was the whole thing right there, was those two sections of whoops, mainly the first set, but both sets cost Coop the thing. And he even admitted after the race, he's like, I'm not that mad like I was in Philly because I didn't have it. I didn't have those whoops. I couldn't do anything. And so I'm not as mad as I was after Philly.
Yeah, I really tried to lean into this, leading up to it, track, you know, staging area on RacerXOnline.com, break down the tracks, and I saw this area of racetrack where they cross over the start, and it allows them to build up a lot of speed going into the whoops, and you don't know how it's going to play out. It could have been a non-factor. It could have not mattered at all, but I knew that there was a potential for this to be a big deal. It could be a big variable because what Sexton wants to do is blitz the whoops really fast, and Jet would have, and Tomac would have. They would have been doing the same thing, but in this particular scenario, it mattered for Sexton. And I knew Coop, that when he looks at that, he's going to know that's a problem. Like, it can turn into a problem because he wants to go inside in the corner and get right into jumping and offset any speed that Sexton's going to have in the whoops. And this is kryptonite for that strategy, that first set. And Coop was trying everything. He tried to jump, and then he tried to blitz, and he was trying to do everything he possibly could to figure this out. But you're in the end, exactly what you said, Steve, there was nothing he could do. He couldn't hit the whoops as fast as Chase was. He wasn't willing to enter them with the same amount of speed Chase was. And that was the difference. And it doesn't mean that Chase wasn't a little better in other sections too, but that wouldn't have mattered. Those whoops were enough. It was like 0.6 of a lap on average that Chase was putting into Coop in those whoops. And you're simply not going to make up that much time on Chase on the rest of the racetrack. And that was it. That one extra bit of track where Sexton was able to grab another gear and accelerate going in was all the difference in the world.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
JT, yes, he did call the double whoop section out on SMX Insider last week. And then in our television meeting call, one of the other experts, not Carmichael, I don't want to call out Carmichael, this was not him, one of them said, no, I think Coop's gotten so much better in the whoops. He's so much better this year. He's been so much better in the Yamaha. I think it's going to be fine. And to your credit, JT, you actually pushed back and said, no, I'm not sure. Like, yes, he's gotten better, but I still think it's going to be a liability. And, dude, it took about two laps in that main event to realize, yep, that's the case this weekend.
Yeah, I felt a little – I didn't want it to be disrespectful at all, but I really felt that way. That was my honest take, and I wasn't just going to say nope, because I still felt like it could be a big thing. And, yes, this point was right. Coop has made strides. There's no doubt about it. The Coop of, you know, 2019, he is much better than that. You know, we think about that race in Detroit where he was nowhere in 2019 in the whoops, and then he found a way when he started jumping. He is a much better version of himself than that, but still he's not on the level of Jet and Chase, and you could argue Eli, when they're on their game. You could throw Malcolm in there too, like Tampa Malcolm. Coop wouldn't have been able to do that. So when that play is in the cards, he still has a real problem on his hands, and I don't know if we're going to see it again. We haven't seen it very often. You could say we saw it at Anaheim 2. You could say we saw it in Tampa, but it's more a rarity than it is the normalcy. So we may not see it down the stretch, but it is something we're going to have to keep our eye on moving forward.
You know what was weird, though, a little bit is, like, yes, absolutely, cost Coop, and he admitted that and everything else. But these were – I mean, we were East Coast ruts, right? And Coop said after the race, he's like, there was just one long rut in those things. Now, when – the whoops that Coop's always struggled on is whoops that stay – they held together all week. Think Houston or any of the California rounds or whatever. Coop's, those are the whoops that Coop struggles in. He's gotten a lot better with those. These ones were like Indy, only they held up. So whatever magic dirt they had, because again, Coop can rail a rut down the middle of the whoop section with the best of them, right? That's where he shines, is when the whoops break down and they end up being garbage. Somehow though, like Cole Davies at Indy, where no one else could do it. Chase, and it was on the right-hand side.
He wasn't really in the rut, though. He was staying.
Yeah, I'm saying, like if for whatever reason, Chase, these ones held up enough for Chase to blitz, and then for whatever reason, Coop couldn't hit the main rut that broke down into nothing like he normally can on East Coast races. Like, it was a little weird.
I would even disagree a little bit with that. Like, I think Coop was fine. I just think what Chase was doing is, like, peak ability. Like, that is the elite. If you can do what Chase is doing, there is no answer to that strategy, period. It's just so rare that you're able to blitz at speed when they're that deteriorated. But against everybody else, Coop would have been fine. Literally anybody else on the racetrack, he would have been fine in that race doing what he was doing. But what Chase was doing, we've seen other guys, Stu used to do it. I mean, Chad Reed, that level of whoop blitzing, there is no answer against it. I can give you 100 examples. Go back to 2008 Las Vegas. Chad Reed absolutely annihilated everybody in Vegas in the whoops for the finale because he could blitz and nobody else really could. If you can do it that fast, I don't care what else you're trying to do. There is no repercussion that you're gonna be able to overcome it.
Well, the reason I said that
in the press conference that he was, you know, basically lost the race in the whoops. There was nothing he could do. He was powerless, and he also might have been the second best guy in the whoops.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I didn't even know he said that, but I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Well, but he told me after the race. I interviewed him actually. Which is really funny after our text conversation with him.
Got the interview. Yep.
I got the interview with him after the race, and Coop told me I wasn't even able to go through the rut like I wanted to. So he said that he wasn't as good as he normally would be in that the rut was, I don't know what he used the term, the rut was jacked up or it was a bad rut or whatever. So he couldn't do what he normally felt like he could do.
The first set or second set that you're talking
first
about?
Set, first set. Yeah.
He tried, I must have watched him try at least four different angles of it. Yeah. Jump in the middle, blitz on his right, blitz in the middle, kind of like wheel tap, like he was trying, like you could just see him racking his brain of like, what am I going to do? What is the algebra here to figure it out? And they're simply, you saw it about eight laps in, he's just like, well, there is nothing. Like, I'm just going to back it down here and do what I do because there is nothing.
But again, like when they were fresh and good, he was, I mean, I don't know, I didn't look at the segment times, but he qualified better than Chase Sexton with two sections of big whoops and all of that.
He was jumping. When he was doing his fast lap, he and Justin Cooper were jumping.
Yeah, Cooper never blitzed once. So I was going to bring that up with Justin Cooper. Weej, what happened?
I don't know. We had the soothsayer. You know what? He was working with Justin Brayton. Brayton's busy with himself blitzing whoops, okay? He's been busy riding himself and showing everyone how it's done with the helmet cam.
Hey, Jay Coop, first lap. First lap of the heat. He jumped.
I'll tell you something even funnier. I was shooting video from the mechanics area on my phone for a Pro Riders Are Good Riders segment on my Instagram. And this is when they're fresh. So Ken Roczen's going through at Mach 12, et cetera, et cetera. And Justin Cooper goes bouncing through, jumping through. And I purposely turned the camera away from him because it was so not impressive looking. And he went to the top of the board at the end of that lap. Yep. He went to the top on the lap where I'm like, get the camera off him. He looks terrible.
Yeah, it was anyways, the whoops were the big thing. Yeah, I mean, look, they were treacherous, man. Benny Boss couldn't even get through the opening lap of the first practice. Benny.
I was standing right there. That was just that was high in the dork factor, that one. That was
Wait till I tell you about Benny's day. I'll talk about it when I get to him. It sounds unreal. But anyways, Sexton's great. Webb's great. Those two, I mean, I said this, I wrote this in Racerhead on Friday, and I said this on one of my dumb shows. Like, at the end of the season, guys don't want to get in the way of the top two guys. And if you do want to get in the way, maybe you're Jason Anderson or Justin Barcia and you're DGAF. They're not going to – one's gone and one's not going to be in the way. Aaron Plessinger's buddies with Coop, and he's on the teammate of Chase. And Justin Cooper, I don't know, and I don't see any – Kenny's wounded. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think these two guys go 1-2 the rest of the way. I really do. We saw them in Philly rip through the pack. We saw them this weekend. They were 29 seconds. Chase was 29 seconds ahead of AP. Now, obviously, AP was in a battle with Barcia. We'll get to that. But I think these two guys go 1-2 the rest of the way. I don't think Chase wins out. But I think they go 1-2 the rest of the way.
So you don't – I would say that's probably the likely scenario. Like, I agree it's likely. But I think AP has something to offer. Like, if you give AP a whole shot like he had been getting pretty consistently there for a bit, he has looked fantastic, especially you give him the right conditions. Maybe we have some weather involved, which I know – we're a week away, but Pittsburgh is calling for it to be stormy weather. So even it doesn't have to be a mud race. It could just be a little wet, a little soft, a little tricky, which I think helps AP. The way he's been riding, I'm not counting him out of being in a fight for, you know, not saying he's going to intentionally be a factor, but he's not going to, like, slow down and get out of the way just because they're in a title fight. There's no way he's going to do that.
Dear Lord, if we get 2 out of 3 mud races or 2 out of 4 races being mudders that were called during the week and a guy going 5-0 to end the season to win the title, I might just have to retire.
That'll be it. I will say
that. That's it, Weed. You're done. Yeah. Anyways, interesting race for sure. Chase was really, really good. And
is this just a Whoops thing? Does this at all shift momentum, confidence? If you're Cooper Webb or a Cooper Webb fan in general, you realize this is really scary? Or is it just, the track had 2 sets of Whoops? JT.
I personally think that each weekend is too much of its own dynamic.
Right.
And these guys are too close for it to matter. You know, it's... Okay. For sure Chase is going to have a great week. Coop is going to be... ornery all week, you know, like all those things are true. But when the gate drops each Saturday, it's a week later on different surfaces in a different part of the country. And there are way too many variables for me to think like the tide has turned and now Chase is going to be unbeatable. Like that's hard for me to process.
Yep.
One thing about Coop, the cross the jump after the Whoops, the left-hander onto the tabletop. We talk about Chase Sexton and, oh my God, he's such a great rider. He can jump quads and everything else. And that's all true. Guess who was nailing the downside of that tabletop, though? Was our guy Coop. He was airing it out, stretching it out. He looked like Krusty Demons of Dirt sometimes. His front end was so high. But good job for Coop for getting that. And then I asked him after the race, I'm like, well, what about 3? And he's like, that never went through my head. And he's like, you should have told me that. And I said, well, the last time I told you about lines, Weed, you were there. The last time I told you about lines, you were pretty snarky with me. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to say that. But it's surprising that Coop never thought about going. And I don't really know how. I didn't walk the track because that was a Friday.
It's pretty sharp. So it was pretty sharp on the landing. If you would have get over and then 3, the like in between the 3 and 4, wasn't great. And then the 4th one was pretty steep. So I would have looked at it because I was thinking the same thing you were. The funny part is that I know somebody that was timing that, and what Coop was doing was actually slower than what Sexton was doing, which is crazy. It looked awesome, but it was actually slower in the end. So yeah, there was just another thing that he was trying to figure it out. I thought it was really innovative. Like we all wondered, could anybody get over the tabletop? But then I talked to someone after who has access to data, real data, that was saying that it was slower.
Oh, that's funny. Coop thought it was faster. Yeah.
No, I did. I would have thought so too. Yeah. That's why I was surprised.
I guess just slower because you're so far up there, right? But the slap onto the tabletop, slow, backside 2-2, didn't really look very glamorous, but I guess it was faster. So
I think the on-off 3 was the fastest is what I heard, but I don't know. Either way, I was just surprised to hear that it was net slower because it looked fast.
Yeah, even the on-off 3, like again, talking about the track, big booter to do the 3, like the guys are up there, so... it was definitely weird that way, as far as it goes. But anyways, So the coolest thing of the race, I think, was to watch the AP Justin Barcia battle. And Barcia has not had a good year. And I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be amazing. AP caught him for a little bit. Bam was riding really good. And I'm like, Barcia is going to – this is a honey badger. He is not giving up this third place. No way. But Bam went down. Bam went down, and AP took third again. But poor Justin Barcia. And then eventually, I think he pulled into the pits. He got up, went in the mechanics area, went back out. Then I think he was done after that. But, man, sucks for Barcia, Weech.
Yeah, he really, really, really needed it. I mean, dude, he's dangerously close to not going to get a podium all year now. I mean, signs are pointing to he won't. And if you tell Barcia at the beginning of the year that Tomac and the Lawrences and then eventually Anderson – are going to be out and you can't get a podium. And meanwhile, the guys you're riding with, Malcolm's going to get a win. What does AP have? 5 podiums in the last 6 races? He'd probably be like, well, I broke my leg, right? No. You made all the races.
Yeah.
He has to be completely beside himself that this has happened. Because I would imagine when he's riding with those guys during the week, I'm sure he hangs in there. And they've had some great successes.
The last 2 weeks, he was in play. You know, the rear brake thing, not his fault. You have to imagine he's going to be battling Roczen for that third spot.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, I mean, that's his own fault. You know, crashing is your own fault. But he's at least been in the mix. So it's not out of the realm of possibility he gets one of these next 3.
Yeah, got to be disappointing.
If you're 0 for 14, being 1 for 3.
Right.
Bad deal. AP, though, another podium. Ian Harrison, I talked to him after the race. He's really excited about Aaron's racing right now and Aaron's riding. So, he rode really well. He came from the back a little bit. Justin Cooper, same thing. Didn't get the start he needed. Kind of had to work up a little bit. Again, jumping whoops. Justin Brayton, where are you? We need the JB10 bat signal in the air. We thought we fixed this thing. He never blitzed, I think, one time. I didn't see him blitz one time. Just even when they were fresh, anything, Justin Cooper went right back.
When you hole shot the heat in your first lap, you jump, that's pretty telling that you want nothing to do with those things.
Wow, Weege, maybe just
– also, I interviewed him after the race. He said he didn't ride. I think he cut his riding short on Tuesday.
Yep.
And he felt like he didn't have much. Like when he saw AP and Barcia up ahead, he didn't have the normal energy reserve, so he's kind of bummed on that.
I would say this is the first real shot Justin Brayton's taken this year. You know, kind of been the year of the Brayton, right? He's great on Race Day Live. He's an agent. He's helping people with whoops. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread, blah, blah, blah. Looks like the shine has worn off of Brayton a little bit.
Well, Justin,
this is the very same weekend where Brayton himself rode and was absolutely flying on Friday. Probably faster than anyone went all weekend. It's the same exact track we're talking about.
Did you get lap times? How do you know he was flying?
He said he had segment times on Friday, and they were very good.
Oh, okay. He said that, though. Okay.
Yes, very good.
I'm calling him a liar? I'm the greatest podcaster that's ever lived. I said that.
I cannot believe you're calling him a liar now. This is unbelievable.
I'm not calling him a liar.
Unbelievable.
It's nice to see someone get brought down to reality a little bit, you know? He was getting a little too much love, Justin Brayton was.
They ran a one lap narrated by Justin Brayton while riding on the NBC show, and I'm sure the fans at home are like, I cannot believe they sped the footage up. That's ridiculous.
Well, I spoke to him on Saturday, and I said, did you 3 in? And he said, no. So where are we at on that?
I mean, he probably would have beat Barcia.
Okay, thanks. All right, cool.
He didn't finish. Listen,
he's a great guy. Awesome guy. Family man. Man of the people. But it's just, I'm glad to see that the Justin Cooper whoop improvement, you know, didn't really take effect. So
glad to see.
He's walking around thinking, you know.
Like one of the most humble people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, it's just nice to see a little shine knocked off of him. That's all. It's nice to see he's human a little bit, because it's been 2025 might have been the year of the Brayton. It really might have been. So,
first analyst to ever do live Supercross laps on camera and mic'd up as part of the show.
This is what he gets. This is what he gets from Steve.
And the very same weekend that you're throwing this slander out here.
Just listen. I'm just saying. What happened? Yeah. I texted JB. I'm like, what happened?
Listen, you can tell somebody to do a million things, but unless they decide to do it, it's not going to show up.
Cooper was better, though, whatever race that was. Whatever, it did work.
Yeah, there was the very first one was better. Yeah.
Whatever race that was where JB went to the farm, like, he really was better. You know, anyways. Dylan Ferrandis, 5th place. Started way back there. It was kind of funny because Malcolm, Dylan, and I think Jay Coop was a little ahead of them, but they were basically starting out from like 11, 10, 9 and just slowly moving up a little bit there. Got Savacci. They got Barcia, obviously, when he crashed. They got McElrath at some point. Dylan Ferrandis, 5th place. Good job, Dylan Ferrandis. Good ride.
Yeah, something's gotten better. Something has definitely gotten better there in the last month. Now, he got a factory transmission, and we know that's a huge advantage, just ask Roczen. But I think just in general, I don't know if he's healthier or whatever it is.
Yeah, he told me health and parts. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. He's gotten better.
So fifth place for that. Malcolm Stewart, sixth. Again, worked his way, way back. I didn't get a chance to talk to him after the race, but he was didn't get the start he needed. Kind of a funky start, too. Like two corners, like kind of I'm going to like break, and then I got to break again. And Malcolm, yeah, good ride to come through six for sure. Just a bad start. And Weege, you went to his movie premiere?
Yeah, this is something that's coming out on ESPN Plus on April 27th, but they had like a rough cut movie premiere in New York City on Thursday. Rockstar's been putting this thing together on him for 2 years, 3 years. It was all based on, remember, he got third in the championship in 2022, right? Yeah. So I think going into 23, he's probably going to win a race or win races or maybe even be a title contender. So it was all built around that. And then he actually did lead that Anaheim one. Remember where Tomac crashed and then came back and won? He led a lot of laps there. It was all going to plan for this great documentary with him and his dad and his mom. And then James is in it as well. But then 2 weeks later, he ends up tearing his ACL. So that held the whole thing up because he wasn't even racing for a year. And then last year was terrible. So the movie's finally out now. It's pretty cool. Just cool to have ESPN Plus. That's their streaming service. Anytime you get a little mainstream, you know, this is for people that don't follow the sport to just be like, wow, this family, this guy's gnarly. His family's cool, right? Or Malcolm's cool. It'd be a good thing to have.
You told us you couldn't come to dinner on Thursday. I think this was a group text because Malcolm Smith has a movie going on. And I honestly was like, wait, Malcolm Smith?
Wait, what?
Oh, you said Malcolm Smith. And I'm like, I know he passed away. So I was like, okay, well, what's going on with Malcolm Smith? And
his no wonder you guys were so confused by that. No, it was Malcolm Stewart.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Got it. Sounds good.
Shout out to the folks at Pepsi who actually own Rockstar. That's the horsepower that makes these things happen.
Ken Roczen, seventh. And, yeah, like we talked last week, right, obviously he's banged up. Larry Brooks told me he's basically got 20 minutes in him. He didn't qualify well in Philly and then, shined when the chaos in the first turn happened in Philly and held on for that third. And we were like, well, it's Ken Roczen, of course. Well, this might be more of what we expect. He didn't qualify good again. Which is not that big of a deal, but he was outside the top 10. And then, yeah, honestly, I didn't see much from Kenny. I didn't hear much from Kenny. I tried to talk to him after the race. He wasn't around. So, yeah,
he was, he was flying in the heat for like four laps.
Yeah. I was going to say, wait, what happened though? Did he drop back?
He just couldn't get Chase just ended up pulling away. Right. But he was, he reeled Chase in for like four laps. I was really impressed with his speed. And then I think he realized he couldn't do anything with Chase once he got there, and he just kind of settled in. But he had some pace there for a little bit.
So seventh for Kenny, eighth for Shane McElrath, who continues to pull starts just right out of his butthole. Shane's starts are on it. Great job for Shane. And Dean Wilson, ninth. Dino and Justin Hill. I don't know if you guys watched this, but it was 20 minutes of mayhem. Hill could not get by him. I think Dino was ahead of him the entire main event, but they were a bike length apart or less for the entire 20 minutes. It was great. It was fantastic to watch. And honestly, after Dino's Philly debut, I really thought he would drop back more. I even actually may or may not have put a bet on it with one of our mutual friends who likes to bet a lot. And it didn't happen. Congrats to Dino for ninth. That was a really good job. And obviously, he benefited from Savachi crash and Oldenburg or whatever. But still, ninth is ninth. Good job, Dino. That's a lot of improvement. Because last week, dude, he was going backwards. And he couldn't hang on. And he was, like, exhausted after the race. So he made big gains in 1 week.
Yeah, I was surprised he was still in the B practice. And the reason I'm telling this story, I went into the Honda truck. And I'm like, where's Lars? You know, probably wanted to interview him. And they're like, he's got to watch B practice because Dean is in there. And I'm like,
oh, you wanted to interview Lars? Oh, okay.
No, just kidding. I was just going to chat, set something up for the night show. And then they're like, Lars is at B practice because Dino's out there. Then they come back. And I'm like, Dean, you were in B practice? And everybody in the truck, I think maybe even including the same gentleman who likes to bet, might have been the same guy, is in the truck. And they're like, well, if you just get the position you're in instead of fading back to 17th, you'd have enough points to not be in the B practice, Dean. Just straight up. So he was motivated, clearly.
Yeah.
This should get him into A practice. This time he actually held his ground.
Yeah, he should. Even if he's not in the top 20, obviously Jerry's out. They go off of times from the week before and points and all of that. So Dean should be an A going forward. But JT, did you watch the Hill battle at all?
I watched it late in the race because the battle for the lead was done. Then Barcia crashed. That battle was done. So then I was just kind of trying to find something that was worth, you know, and we actually showed a little bit on the broadcast. So I didn't get the 20 minutes of mayhem like you talked about, but I did get the end to see Dino hold on. So, yeah, in any case, huge, huge improvement from last week. I'm guessing the arm pump was better because I think that was a huge problem in Philly.
Yeah. Yep. I think it was. And so, yeah, good job for Dean. That's a solid rebound to ninth. And that's kind of what we think, right? Like he should be around ninth, 10th, 12th, whatever, somewhere around there.
Yeah, but it's impressive to hold off Hill, who has been racing every weekend all year. I know Dean did arena cross and stuff, but he definitely wasn't on a riding training program much at all. That's pretty good to be able to hold up against a guy who's been racing since January.
Yeah, for sure. So Savacci, 11th, and he was second fastest in the first session of practice, which doesn't count for qualifying, but he was second. And then he was fifth, I think, and sixth in the next two. So Joey's speed is better. And then he closed on Kenny. He was up front. I had him in fantasy, so I was watching it also. But he was closing on Kenny in seventh and looking pretty good. And then he went down in the whoops. And after the race, like, he was on Monday's Pulp Show, and he said, well, I got to find speed. I got to break through and find that speed. And if I go down, I go down. And I'm like, yeah, like, whatever. This is Monday night. This is what he's saying. Smash cut to last night after the race, and he's like, yeah, I told you, man. I got to break through. If I crash, I crash. And I'm like, okay, all right, man. Like, huh, what do you know? You actually believed what you said. So, like, although he's bummed at the 12th or the 11th, he's happy that his riding was better and, like, hey, crashes happen. But he was trying to go faster, break through, and find speed. So, good job, Joey, till the crash.
Yeah, admirable.
Right.
Scary. Scary, but yeah.
Craig, 12th, and, I mean, I guess that's better. It's more of a dry track and everything, so.
Do we have any clarity on, is he racing pro motocross or not? Do we know? I heard both this weekend.
So, same. Yeah, me too, but I thought he was in for motocross. I really did. But it's Star Racing. Things are loose over there. But
Weren't you trying to track this down?
Yes.
At one point?
Yes, I pulled up a podcast interview that I did with him because I'm positive he said in that he was in for the full season. And then I just I got hungry or distracted, and I didn't get to the point where he said anything. So
okay, that sounds about right.
Yeah. But I'm gonna text him actually. You know what? I'm gonna text him right now. Let's do that live on the show right now. So,
yep. What other podcast is bringing this to you?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I would wonder what does he do if he's not at Star? I mean, I guess like a quad lock or something like that. But
no,
like,
he has a 2-year deal. He has a 2-year deal. He did say that.
Okay. That's so good.
Yeah, something along the lines.
I think we're just assuming it's all season long, but now there's a chance it's just Supercross.
Yeah. Colt Nichols, 13th, didn't get a good start. Mitchell Harrison. Harrison was up there, I think, in the heat for a while. 14th for Mitchell Harrison. Oldenburg was up front and crashed and then was dead. Him and Benny were 21 and 22, and they were way far back. Both had separate crashes, the Beta guys. And Oldenburg signed a contract with Beta, just like Benny did the last week. So I went up to the truck to both of them and it said, hey, Mitchell, how's it feel to sign a contract that was double Benny's size? And then that threw Benny for a loop, and then it just, it went sideways from there over there. Benny's day. Yes. So Benny Bloss, he goes out there in practice. Weege, you saw it. First lap, first thing through the whoops, knocks the wind out of himself and has to go back to the truck because can't breathe. And that was the first session. Then in the heat race, he pulls up a timing loop from the ground and it gets wrapped in his rear wheel and it's whipping him. Every time it goes around, it's whipping him in the back.
Oh, my God.
He's like, what is going on? So he slowed down to look. He thought it would be okay. And then as he accelerated, as the wire was coming in, it was whipping him on the back. So he's like, okay, great. So then he takes the last spot in the main event. And then in the main event, he goes off the track. He crashes. He's dead last. He's charging up through the field. He gets cross-rutted, jumps off the track. Benny had himself a hell of a day. A hell of a day.
Yeah, the whipping in the back with a timing loop wire.
Yeah.
That's I've heard of that.
That me too. Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Have you ever got something caught in like your sprocket or rear wheel and it slaps you like a rope, or I've had that happen and it does not feel good. It's like lashings. Like it is freaking
never painful. Had that. Yeah. No. I had the worst cool. I ever had was I came up short on a double, cracked my gas tank, and gas spilled all over my genitals, and it burned so bad. I had to ride the last two or three laps with gas splashing all over me, and it was unbelievable pain once I got off the bike.
Yeah, I've done that. Done that a few times. I wouldn't. 10 out of 10 wouldn't recommend.
Not good. Not good. Chiz, 16th. Freddie, 17th. We're trying to work a thing where Freddie's team manager, Jericho, a.k.a. Derek Rankin, meets Stone Cold, who is a Kawasaki ambassador. And thanks to Ken at Cowie, who I've pressured to do this, because Weege, this would make Jericho's life to meet Stone Cold.
Yes, he is a – what is he, the crew chief, the team manager? What's the job
of the manager.
Now?
Manager, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But 10x more into anything wrestling than anything dirt bikes.
Yep.
Yeah, this would be way more important.
So Ken is trying to hook it up. And so Derek may miss a race even to meet Stone Cold and hang with Stone Cold. Stay tuned.
My point exactly.
He said if he meets Stone Cold, he's going to be more famous than Freddie. And he's going to need a race. So.
Yeah.
Barsha, 18th. Bloss, 19th. Tristan Lane, 20th. Jeremy Hand. I had Grant Harlan in fantasy, and all Grant had to do was beat one guy in the main event to get me double points. Grant couldn't do that. Grant chose not to finish the entire 20 minutes. Grant chose to ride off the track after crashing in the whoops. So here's to you, Grant.
Thank you, Hardog. I will be picking you in Pittsburgh. Thank you for
that. I told Hardog beginning of the day, we ride together. We ride together, Grant. And this is what he does to me.
What are you, bad boys?
I don't know, man. I was trying to inspire him. But instead, he got 22nd and not double points. Thanks, Grant. Super awesome. Yeah, so that's the 450 race from New York. Anything else from Catch Your Eyes?
Speaking of the beta guys, you've been building up this Oldenburg versus Bloss battle all year, and incredibly, they're only 6 points apart with three races to go. What a battle.
What a battle. Yeah, absolutely. Oldenburg's the number one rider over there. Benny's the number two, and Benny's been moving up lately. This is his first race. This is his first poor result in like 3 weeks, I think. So, and for Benny, three consistent weeks is, I mean, he may as well just be Mike LaRocco. But with 3 weeks in a row of consistent results, there's no chance that, you know.
But like, is this a consistent result for Benny though? Really?
No, 3 weeks in a row. He was like 9, 11, 10.
Oh, but not this week though.
No. Yeah, he had 3 weeks in a row that was like rock solid LaRocco.
Got it.
And now he's back to beat a Benny.
Steve is the king of finding battles that nobody else cares about.
Yes. Yeah. No, I am. Sad, really. Hey, by the way, thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. Use code PULPMX when you check out from Fly Racing. Also, Renthal. I want to thank the folks at Renthal, of course, Factory Honda, Dean Wilson and Chance Hymus using Renthal products, Kawasaki, Red Bull, KTM. They got lock-on grips now, which I guess are selling really well. I've got a set on my bike. I don't like lock-on grips, but Parabinos made me put them on, and then I'm too lazy to take them off. But also, they work well enough where I don't want to take them off. They're fine. I was anti-lock-on grips, but these are fine. I like these. So if you're in a lock-on grips, check out the Renthal's newest ones. Their mountain bike parts are available in power sports dealers nationwide, of course. And also thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires. Love the guys at Maxxis. And great mountain bike tires, of course. And speaking of, Fast Freddy Norn, he's a Maxxis guy. PRMX are Maxxis guys. Some guy named McGrath developed these. Maxxis.com for more information on these high-end tires that are making main events. And then, of course, the mountain bike tires are next level as well. So thanks to the folks at Maxxis and Weege OnX as well.
OnX Maps. Go to OnXMaps.com or OnX Off-Road in the App Store and try this out. It's got half a million miles worth of trails mapped out for single-track dirt bikes, adventure bikes, mountain bikes, hiking. There's a hunting version of the app. Public and private land. You can even find out the names of people that own private land. I don't know if you want to arrange even more permission to ride there. Especially, I feel, if you're west of the Mississippi, you'd be shocked how much there is out there. So go to onxmaps.com or onxoffroad in the App Store And if you want to give it a test ride and then use it and subscribe, we'll give you a discount. Just type in RacerX, all one word, all lowercase. Check out.
We got any subscription prizes?
Hold on for a second.
Wait.
Hold on. Okay. We do see, but
people would be shocked to know how much riding is west of the Mississippi.
No. There will be trails that you didn't know existed that you'll find on this. They probably already know there's a lot, but they're going to say, I didn't know that 100 miles that way is this massive thing that I didn't know about when you have the public and private lands.
Okay.
As for you, Steve, with the prescription, yes, we sold out of the Scott Fury goggles. So thanks to the folks at Scott Goggles for hooking us up. Too many subscriptions, sold out of all the goggles. We will now have a window sunshade you can put in your truck when you go to the Nationals, and it's really hot. It's summertime. It's here. And it's got a cool photo of the Nationals, so people will know you're a motocross guy when you're parked if you use it at the store. One of them big window sunshades for your truck. Free with your subscription. So subscribe to the mag.
Dude, those are dumb. I used to have one, and I live in Vegas, right? It's hot as balls here. They do work. They do work, but they're so dumb to carry around and unfold and fold up and put in your window. And
what do you mean?
No, it takes too long. It's a pain in the ass.
Oh my God. I have the basic one, like the silver one that's flat.
Yeah.
Under 5 seconds from grabbing it to putting it in to exiting my truck. Under 5 seconds. Dude, I promise you.
I tried to use one. It's just, they're stupid. They work, but I'll just take the hot ass seat and just deal with it instead of dealing with it.
But also, we're getting way up in the weeds here, but most of your life, your truck is in your garage, which helps a lot.
Okay. Fair. Great dinner on Thursday night. We're talking about 250 class now with Chance Hymus. Fantastic dinner at my dear friend's restaurant that he supplies meat to. It was great. JT, we played credit card roulette. And then, so this is how Dan Truman's life works, everybody. This is perfect. Encapsulates Dan's life perfectly. So we go to our restaurant where my dear friend supplies the meat to. We play credit card roulette. It's $700. The bill is. We all put money in. Yeah, Weege, good thing you missed this, because I would have loved to see your face if your credit card got pulled out.
Malcolm Smith. Great movie, Malcolm Smith. I was so glad it was a Malcolm Smith movie premiere and not part of this dinner.
Everyone puts a credit card in. Pookie puts hers in, even though, ha-ha, I'm paying if her card gets pulled out. But so we all put credit cards in. The waitress pulls out Dan's card. Ah, Dan, you got screwed, $700. So he's like, okay, whatever. So he pays for dinner. And I say, well, I'll take care of the tip because there's two of us. And whatever.
I paid him for mine.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I'm getting to that. So I throw in $120 for the tip, and then cash. And then Dan maybe throws in another bit of money for the tip. I don't remember. And then JT's like, Dan, you can't do that, man. You know, you saved my life back in Nam. So JT Venmos Dan his share of the money. So, okay, so Dan is still – didn't have to pay the tip, and he's got JT's 100 bucks or whatever. So Dan's still out 600 bucks, and I'm happy. I mean, I'm out 120, but I'm probably still ahead of the game compared to what Pookie and I dinner were. And then the next day, my dear friend Instagram DMs me and says, and includes an email with the restaurant, and they were supposed to comp it. And my dear friend is not happy. And the guy at the restaurant's like, we apologize. It slipped through the cracks. We will refund his credit card ASAP. And we apologize and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So Dan's got the refund. Dan's got JT's money. I'm out the 120 for the cash. So that is Dan Truman's life right there. JT, you can back this.
I mean, this was not an intentional move by Dan.
No.
But yes, Dan... things tend to work out for Dan.
Yeah, yeah.
Things tend to work out. Yes.
Yep. And
so, yes, I agree with that. This wasn't anything he was trying to have happen. It just doesn't seem to matter. It still goes his way.
Am I going to get my 120 back? Nope. I'm the only guy that's going to be out on this dinner after laughing at Dan for losing credit card roulette. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then on top of that, Hymus goes and weeds himself. Well, first he ghost rides his bike. First he ghost rides his bike in qualifying. And then he weeds himself in the main event, and the Mathis dinner curse is brought up on social media 100 times. So, yeah. I thought we could get away with it because it was Thursday, and I didn't invite Hymus. Dan just brought him, but apparently not. So, good times. All right. 250s. East Coast is good, man. Man, it's really good. Now, this main event wasn't great, but it's really exciting to watch a single through the wire. Hammerker rode flawless, man. Did he win the heat? He won the heat, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he won the heat. He qualified
quickest. Thrasher beat him in the heat.
Thrasher won the heat. Yes, Thrasher won the heat. That's right.
That's why that first lap pass was so key, because if he didn't get him on the first lap of the heat, Thrasher beat him.
Yeah,
that's what we were talking about. Yeah, we were talking about Thrasher pulling a Thrasher. And we're like, oh, here he goes.
Yeah.
Here he goes.
Yeah.
Just see you later. But and so I asked Seth about that pass, and he said, absolutely. I had to get him right away. I knew it because he could just take off, because Nate can do that. And he goes, I knew I had to get him right away, and he did. Got him first lap, and then, I mean, look, credit RJ for being RJ and never giving up and having a few sketchy moments. Seth had one big one that I saw, the whoops also. But Weege, good race by both those guys, and Hammerker takes the points lead now by 3.
Gosh, it's still crazy to think we're living in a world where Seth Hammaker might be the best guy. Like, as I said in the Weed Show, right now he's the best guy in 250 East. Maybe somebody beats him next weekend. Maybe he doesn't win the title. But he can leave. He can carry his gear bag away from MetLife Stadium saying, I'm the best guy right now, and I'm the point leader. I'm the only one that's won 2 races. They couldn't catch me. It's just a phenomenal improvement. You know, he's always been fast. He's always been good. But I don't think title contender status. To maybe go from contender to the best guy. Now, I got some insight. He was on Race Day Live with the great Justin Brayton last weekend, and they were asking about the things he's learned with Burner and Dazzy Lawrence and whatnot. And he's grabbing an extra gear as he hits the starter whoop, which is something he didn't used to do. So I dove into this pretty deep on the TV show with my reporting role, and I'm like, what did you used to do? And he's like, I would just take turns in fourth gear. I would just do the turn before the whoops in fourth gear. I had to go outside. I couldn't cut down at all. So they taught me you have to go to third, and then you have to upshift as you hit the first whoop.
I thought that was common knowledge, JT. You hit the turn in third, and you grab fourth. You can literally see the chain.
Usually grab it not on the whoop, though. Like, you grab it exiting the corner and before you get to the whoop.
But he's saying he didn't do that. Like, isn't that what? Like that?
Yeah, I would have thought most people were shifting before. Doing it on the whoop is a little iffy for me. Like, I don't. He's pulling it off, so I'm not going to.
I'm like, hey, there's that huge run. The way these whoops are set up, what are you doing with that extra 50 feet? And he's like, I'm going to fifth on the starter whoop, and I'm like, fifth gear. So then I was over at KTM talking to Ian Harrison, and I'm like, is Vial going through the whoops in fifth gear? And he's like, no. And I'm like, Hammaker's doing it, and he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, he's grabbing fifth on the starter whoop. And Ian's like, I don't think Tom's ready for that. And I'm like, well, there you go. He's doing it.
I think it's a little bit of a misnomer. Like, for people who haven't ridden Supercross whoops, they're not doing it to go that much faster. You think fifth gear and like, holy cow, fifth gear, right. He's going as fast as the bike will go.
No.
He's trying to lower the RPM so the shock's less bound up, so the bike is going to be less responsive, the shock's going to work better. Like, there are strategic reasons for it. It's not just fifth gear is the fastest the – you know, it's going to be out. Like, that's not it. So I just want to dispel that misnomer. Having lower RPM, the whoops is definitely a thing. So to hear fifth gear isn't that shocking. So I even for the team to be saying that, like, it's not like Tom would be scared of fifth gear or something like that. It's just probably not something they've been practicing or working on yet.
I'm just surprised. Yeah. And if I implied at all that he's going 70 miles an hour and he enters the whoops, that wasn't the point I wanted to make, although some people probably do think that's what we meant. I just can't believe that he literally went – very rarely do you hear a rider at this level say, 6 months ago I was doing this, and now I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Which really is just to illustrate his improvement. You talked to Dazzy a lot about it on Pulp there last week, Steve, about they've really drilled a lot of new riding technique in, and you're seeing some of the benefits.
He was start out on a Honda – TR230 or something or whatever Dazzy said, one of those Honda play bikes, right, at one point, trying to work us on focus on some technique. I'm still shocked that he doesn't go to third around the turns and grab fourth before the whoop like we see all the other guys do. And
I don't know why he wasn't in the past. He said I couldn't cut down. He's like, I could never cut down on a turn before the whoops. Right. So I was in fourth gear, and I couldn't go inside. And I'm like, wowzers.
I asked Mitch Payton if what rider Seth reminded him of that he had ever worked with or anything else. Like, you know, trying to come up with some unique question. And I was like, does he remind you of a guy that you worked with at all in body style, personality or anything? And Mitch thought for a second and goes, Kudrowski, who never rode for Mitch. So really didn't get the point of that question, but it's Mitch Payton, so I'll just run with it. But he said Kudrowski. I'm like, okay, cool. Mike Kudrowski, Seth Hamaker. There we go. And he mentioned it more in personality. He mentioned it more work ethic and personality, not so much riding style and all that. But it's kind of interesting just to hear Mitch say that. So RJ second. And like we said, he had a couple sketchy moments. He was pushing it or whatever. He also told Lewis that he may not be doing outdoors now because of this plate that he got in his wrist is causing problems, which he told us in Philly, when it gets cold, it's really bad. But I guess there's more issues with this. And so we may just never get RG on a 450. Who knows? Maybe 2026 is it. Maybe not. We don't know. But we never really saw him on a 450 other than one Supercross, I think. So, JT, do you know anything about this?
Yeah. No, I know it's been bothering him. So, you know, if he had to go get more work done, it wouldn't be the biggest shock ever. So that's obviously a huge bummer for him. I did want to touch on Hamaker, though, before we got away from him. I really think it's just somehow, whether, you know, you could say it's Dazzy, you could say Burner, you could say whoever you want to credit for it, Seth himself, whatever. The best version that we've ever seen of Seth, he has somehow found a way to bring that every single weekend. And that's really the difference.
Except for the chicken.
Well, yeah, that's not his fault. But I'm saying, like, every time he's been healthy, that best self is arriving on Saturdays. And he's never been able to do that. It's been crashes. It's been all over the place. Good, bad, crashing, DNF. Like, you never knew what you were getting. And now it's... You hate to say that it's like just completely been eradicated from his racing, but it damn close. Like, I haven't seen the erratic Seth Hamaker that I was almost guaranteed to see year in and year out. So whatever they've done, whoever you want to credit, great job, because this is a like a career changing thing that has happened here. Like, when you look at where his career can go from here, this is about as big of a step as he could have possibly made.
Weege, do you think maybe if we see somebody down the I-10 with like a stick and all his belongings in a knapsack on a KX250F, it's McAdoo heading out?
Why?
To go to the Lawrence compound. McAdoo.
Oh! I'm like, he has a multi-year deal. Are you saying he's a hobo now? Like,
no, I'm saying he's going to Florida.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Set. All the Cali guys, go to the Honda guys' place. Go get better. I don't know.
You could probably find some replays on YouTube of Jet versus McAdoo. I don't know if that's happening.
Yeah, I don't think that's in the cards right now.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, because if someone could figure out Cam, you know, because he had a lot of Seth problems. He's got a lot of Seth problems.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. It was funny to hear Dazzy say, you're like, I didn't think that you could get all the crashes out of his system this quickly, and he said, well, we have.
Yeah. He did checkmate me on that one. Yeah,
it's like he has.
He has. No, he has.
If they could take McAdoo, and keep in mind, they coined the nickname Whackers, and they could get him to not crash anymore, they can do anything. They could turn, you know, water to wine. Do whatever you want.
Then after McAdoo's fixed, we'll send Benny there.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. Hey, here's Bloss.
Keep elevating the ask.
Yeah. Here's Bloss. Take him. All right. So Vial got third. Good.
Who is the final boss in that game? Who's Hardy. The final boss? We're just like, oh, you think you guys are good? Well, here you go. You got to fight, you know, whoever. King so-and-so.
Yeah, it's Hardy. But unfortunately, Hardy may have actually gotten hurt this weekend. He didn't show up for the night show. He crashed twice huge in practice. But it's Hardy. We're just like, okay, whatever, cool. Hardy crashed huge, right on. We'll see him at the night show. But Hardy actually didn't show up, so I don't know. I hope he's all right. But Hardy would be the big boss. I mean, A-Ray's probably done.
Yeah.
I'd like to see A-Ray, but he's done.
A-Ray.
Yeah.
Is this going to affect Hardy and his okay for the Denver
private? It might. Now I got to try to text him and try to get through to him, like, you know, are you okay to race Denver that you told? Yeah. I don't know, man. Roxon's practice bike guy at the sandbox said he talked to him, explained who I am, what the race was all about. And even though Hardy told me okay in text, I feel like he didn't know what was going on, but it sounds like he does now. So
I interviewed Hardy, by the way,
probably get a
press day.
Oh,
I was just asking him if he knows how spectacular he is. And he says he loves doing it for the fans. And I said, the louder they cheer, the bigger you go. And he said, yes. So I like the style. And I said, so you're basically just not scared. And he said he knows how to make it look like he's not scared. He is scared.
Oh.
But he knows how to make it look like he's not scared.
Oh, okay. Goddamn. All right.
Who knew? Deep down inside, there is fear.
Vial third. Look, good job. Not good, though, in a sense. Like, he definitely was the third best guy in the heat race. He got dropped in the main. He kind of 6 seconds back.
Foxborough, good job.
But yeah,
Foxborough was the story. Because without Foxborough, if he doesn't DNF there at the end, he beats Hanmaker and RJ in the main. Mm-hmm. He extends his lead. And there's a story here where he just kind of consistencies his way to a championship. You know, like, it could have happened. You think he goes up 14 or whatever? He would have been like 14 up, let's say, going into Philly, where he was, ahead of both of them. Loses some points. He's up like 10. Now he's up like 6, 5, 6 with two to go. Like, he could have found a way to get this thing done. And he's still in it. We know that. Nothing is finished. But it feels like he's really on the back foot right now. And he's going to have to go win. Like, I just am going to say it. If he wants this championship, he's going to have to win. I don't think he can get beat again in Pittsburgh. And then both of them are just going to have horrific Salt Lake City showdowns. I don't think that's going to happen. So if you want to win the title, you're going to have to win races. That's where it's going to have to be now.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, by the way, thanks to the folks at motorsport.com. Go through the banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Great prices, OEM, aftermarket prices. They got it all. They got whether it's Maxxis, whether it's Renthal. They can help you out. Great prices and great deals. Dedicated team of gearheads there. Free shipping on everything over $79. And then they have a first return free on apparel. So if you buy something that doesn't fit, then you can return it for free for the first part. So thank you to the folks at motorsport.com, and go through the banner and help us out. And also, before I get too far into this, Race Tech as well. Love the guys at Race Tech. And got service centers all across America. So thanks to the guys at Race Tech for supporting this show. Also, Brunt work boots. Do you guys need work boots?
We just wear anything.
Free?
Yeah, free.
I'm sponsored by a boot company already.
But no, these are work boots, JT, not Grandstones.
Well, I don't do much construction work.
I know, I don't either. But these look like really good boots.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Steel toe.
Yeah. All right, they don't just make a durable work boot. They reinvented comfort for the hardest workers out there. Well, that's not me, but I'll find a hard worker like Weege. And for a limited time, our listeners get $10 off Brunt by using PulpMX code at checkout. Head to bruntworkwear.com. Use PulpMX. You're all set. Brunt lets you try all the products on the job risk-free. After the purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support the show. Tell them that our show sent you. Brunt work boots, B-R-U-N-T, workwear.com. Great boots, and I'm going to have a review of them shortly. I'm going to do some sort of work with these work boots. I'll keep you guys informed. PulpMX code saves at Brunt, though.
Weege will wear them. I promise you, Weege will wear them.
I have new screens in my screen windows. You guys have seen my struggle. I'm still trying to get the screens out. But if I can get them out, I got to replace them. Maybe it's the boots. Maybe that's the problem. I don't have good enough boots to do it.
I put these things on that they sent me, and, dude, they're so comfy.
Oh.
But I need a job. I need a work job. So I'll let you guys know.
Hey, did anybody else find this ironic. And let's preface it by saying that Weech absolutely crushed his job this weekend. The pit reporter side that he, you know, just filled in, nailed it, knocked it out of the park. But the least mechanically inclined person on earth explaining mechanical functions of the motorcycle, the irony was not lost on me.
Good point.
Jorge Prado, just count him in. Just count the four-time world champion as someone who was blown away by the technical analysis I gave at a motorcycle. Do you know this, Steve?
No, I didn't watch the race. I want to ask you about your job, though. Yeah.
Oh. During the 450 LCQ, I'm showing parts from the 250 LCQ winner, Henry Miller. Mm-hmm. Suspension built courtesy of Art of War, my friend Johnny Oler. We are showing parts, the difference between motocross and supercross suspension. Show and tell. And Prado, who's in the booth calling the 450 LCQ, says, wow, I didn't even know that myself.
Wow.
World champion.
What he had, Steve, he had basically was showing the holes where oil flows through, right? So less oil flow is going to create a stiffer feel for supercross, right? And you did a great job. The only thing I wish is you had more time to explain, like,
oh, dude.
Less oil creates a stiffer feel. So the more, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know the time constraint. Trust me.
Yeah. They said it to me. There was a minute 13 left in the race and I knew I had to be done before the checkered flag came out. Right. So I'm like, this is going to be a Cliff's Notes version.
Well, Henry did send it off another berm onto the ground, just like he did in Phoenix. So did you mention that? Hey, Henry,
is that what happened in the heat?
Yeah. When you sailed off the berm again for the second time this year and the net didn't save you again, Henry, how did you think about your suspension?
I was really worried because I had it all set up with him, and then the heat race, I just see the DNF and five laps down, and I'm like, is he gone? And then I walk over there, and there he is getting ready for the LCQ, and I'm like, thank God, and we got a minute 13 to go.
The upside is he didn't clean out a photographer, so there is positivity on that. What you should have done, Weech, I don't know what you did. I got to watch the race, but what you should have done is you should have got a zip tie and one fork that was supercross and one fork that was motocross. And then put the zip tie at the top of by the fork seal, push down on the supercross fork, push down on the outdoor fork and say, look how much lower the zip tie is. This is how much softer a super motocross fork is. Thank you, folks. Have a good night.
It's a good idea. I'll have to find all those bikes in the pits that have their motocross setting on while they're sitting in the pits.
Okay.
You did a great job. Don't listen to this guy.
There's a lot of bikes with the motocross forks sitting around in the pits of New Jersey.
I'm sure you did a good job. I got to watch it. I mean, one time Ricky was trying to describe like a subframe and a foot peg or something, and it was horrendous. So
go to Spring Creek and watch me talk about a scoop tire. you want to see a complete debacle?
That's a little rough.
Right. Go check that out.
You need to do over. Anyway, I am out of ideas. If I ever have to do this again, Steve, I hate to say this, but I might be asking you for ideas. I came up with the three best visuals I could come up with. I'm out now.
You're out. My Jorge Prado story was he was up in the press box with Oscar Werdemann hanging out for a little bit, watching the races with Lewis and I and Pookie was there a little bit. And then Seven Deuce Deuce comes up, our buddy Seven Deuce Deuce, and peace and love. Sometimes Adam's a lot in the press box. He's a lot to take in. He's a lot to deal with. Love Seven Deuce Deuce. But at some point in the main event, Seven Deuce Deuce is just yelling play-by-play of what's going on in the track. And Prado looks and then like looks back. And then like 2 minutes later looks like, I think Prado was like, is he got a microphone? Is he working? Is this bearded man with a yellow jacket? Is he working? No, Prado. No, that's just what Seven Deuce Deuce does. He just yells at the play-by-play. So, yep, fantastic. That was my favorite Prado moment.
That guy, very unique one. We all love him, but he is unique.
So Cullen Park got fourth. He actually got fifth, but Nate Thrasher got penalized for just deciding to go right up the middle of the whoops when he got sideways one lap. So Nate got penalized one spot. Cullen got fourth. He's fourth in the championship. That's by far his best. Good job, Cullen. And, a lot of talk about the post-race interviews with the riders and the media and the press conferences and the corrals and how everything is jacked up and it needs to be better, but Fell doesn't want to help us and the teams don't want to help us. And so the media gets screwed and the riders don't care and all of that stuff.
That's a lot of talk amongst you guys. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah, it is.
A very small group of people are talking about this.
Yep, but it takes – it's just an army starts with a small group and then it grows. Yeah,
good luck recruiting to that army.
So anyways, point being is I was roaming the pits like a zombie looking for somebody to talk to. I see Cullen, and I'm like, Cullen. And he turns around and goes, I was just looking for you guys. Cullen Park, everybody. He was looking for the media to talk to about his fourth.
It's at least a great answer.
Love Cullen Park. But good job. He's
riding
well. I got
such a new perspective being in the pits during the race, which I'd never done before, or maybe one other time. And it's funny to see first the 450 guys who are not anywhere near the podium. Like when Christian Craig is riding back to the start truck after getting, what did he get, 12th?
Yep.
It's like we're used to, you're seeing on TV Sexton high-fiving, hugs, champagne, fireworks going off at the podium. I'm seeing the other guys going back to the truck.
JT and I can tell you all about the other guys. What do you want to know?
Yeah, it's a little bit different than what you see on TV.
it's the lonely ride back.
Totally.
Put the bike on the stand.
And eventually there's wives walking back.
Yep.
Moms and dads walking back. All of them with scowls on their face. Harlan riding back. I just didn't even want to look. And when I saw Harlan riding back to the pit, I'm like, the main event's not even over. And he's riding
you
back.
You got about 5 minutes of just you and your rider talking and thinking about how you suck.
I couldn't have summed up the atmosphere I saw, but I couldn't have summed it up better than that. But also funny, as the 450 non-podium guys are starting to straggle their way back to the pits and the wives and the moms and dads, JT, among them, Lewis and Mathis are in the pits, I swear, before some of the riders were, ready to attack. How did you get there that early?
Yeah, it's called...
Did you even watch the checkered flag?
Yeah. Yeah, he watched the checkered flag and then basically get out of there as soon as the checkered flag flies.
Yeah, I'm like, there's Roczen, there's Chiz, there's Lewis and Steve.
Yeah.
Without bikes.
It's called being a journalist and being, getting the scoops. So it's called. Should look into it.
Windy scoops.
All right, Faulkner. Hey, there's life with Faulkner. Qualified fourth or fifth. He did crash late in the race. I think he was fourth or I think he was fifth. Crashed late in the race, lost a couple spots, but this was the best Austin Faulkner we've seen. So I talked to somebody who said that he's dealing with a nerve issue in his arm, a little bit like what Adam had. And so that's been a little bit of an issue. And Scuba Steve, I talked to him after the race, the manager, and Steve Westfall, and he kind of, declared that Faulkner does have a nerve issue going on. So, because it's not been good. This was some positivity, though, for Faulkner.
Yeah, it was better all day. All day, all afternoon.
Yep.
Huge step. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Nope, for sure. Miller eighth. How about Simonsen? Third in the heat. His first race all year. He had two surgeries on his wrist, and he was third in the heat. He was running fifth for a while in the race. He ended up getting ninth. He got a little tired, but Devin Simonsen, everybody, good job.
Yeah, it was great.
Luke Neese, 10th. Good job for Luke Neese. Call up Clark. I had Isaiah Clark in the Pulp Fantasy, and he got through the LCQ, but heat race crash definitely hurt us. And then I also had Ryder Floyd, who continues to just – actually, we're going to send Ryder Floyd to Dazzy. That's the guy. That's the guy, Ryder Floyd, because he's fast.
Definitely knows how to ride. Question him on knows how to race.
Yes.
Friend of Darkside. Grew up riding with Darkside.
Yeah, he's just insane. It's ridiculous. Rod Bell made it again. Good job, Rod Bell, on Mason Kerr's 250. Yeah. So. And as he pointed out, it's not even muddy. So not even mud race, and he still made it in.
And just another plea. I implore you to listen to Steve's post-race interview with him. It's just it's just incredible.
Yeah, he's something else. He's a real beaut. But good job for Rod Bell for sure. And, so we got two rounds to go this weekend in Pittsburgh. Another home race for Hamaker, kind of, sort of. And then the showdown in Salt Lake for these guys. So the West is kind of decided, but this is going to be good, man. I don't know how Vial's pulling this out. I just don't see it. For all the
reasons, he's got to win this weekend.
Yeah, but what makes you think he's, you know, going to, right? Nothing.
I didn't say that. Yeah. I'm just saying if he's going to do it, I think a win this weekend is a chapter in that story.
Yep. Is he good enough? Is he close enough where if he whole shots, he beat them?
No.
He can win. He can. It's just he needs a good start, and he needs the Whoops to not really be a factor. Those are the two things that have to happen for him to win.
Yeah, he can win, but yeah. So can I.
No, stop it. Okay, he's close. Like, he's not that far off.
He's closer than me.
He's not the fastest guy right now, so he's going to need things to go his way. Like, he's going to need those variables to go his way. Like, he can't overcome adversity. He can't have anything go wrong. Like, it has to be the right setup for him to get it done.
But I don't like his odds, everyone.
No, for sure not.
All right, that's 250 class. Yeah, Hammacher and RJ, this is going to be a good battle to the end for sure. So, all right, anything else for New York?
Man, I hope Vial wins the title now so he can just – everything everyone says was against the doubters, the haters.
Steve's saying he can win, but so can I is
– Yeah.
That was aggressive. No, that's aggressive. Yeah. That's aggressive.
Can't wait.
No.
Maybe he'll have it on his butt patch at the finale when he's back into the point lead.
Yeah. So, hey, by the way, I didn't watch the press conferences. How was Chase's – because he had an early flight, and he had to split. What was Chase saying?
No, I didn't notice anything different.
Okay, yeah, just whatever. No. Felt good. Yeah.
I'll sum it up. He felt really good in the Whoops.
okay, all right.
Let's give the cliff notes on that.
And listen, I think he's going to Cowie. A lot of people do.
Same.
I talked to somebody I trust. Because I guess Ricky said he signed the deal. Apparently Ricky said either on Title 24 or somewhere that he signed the Cowie deal. And I talked to somebody that I really trust, and nothing is signed. Now, do I expect him to go? Yes, but nothing is signed. So just do with that what you want.
I think he's going. Whether it's signed or not or whatever, I expect him to see him on a green bike in 2020.
Yeah. I know. I just want to say that just for the record as far as that goes. And, I mean, Weijer's on a text with a deep, deep, deep insider, and that person thinks that he's gone. So,
Interesting about this is Sexton staying at KTM pretty much locks in a lot of the sameness, but him leaving, if he leaves, so many other things get put into motion. This will become one of the, I don't want to say the most, but one of the most dynamic off seasons. Because, for example, I think we pretty much know at this point Tomac and Yamaha aren't going to make it happen. I think that seems fairly certain as well with the Deegan money and the Webb money. I think Jay Coop's going back.
Yeah, Simon Jay Coop was a big, like, hey, to me, Jay Coop doesn't feel like a big puzzle piece, but him signing again is almost a guarantee that Tomac's not coming back to me.
Yeah, but the point is, who would think there's even a world where Eli Tomac's going to have a conversation with Red Bull KTM? I don't think you can count it out, but I don't think anyone would have ever thought ever that that combination. I always feel like Eli's been the KTM fighter, he's always been on the Japanese teams. He's always been a monster rider. He's ridden for almost every brand except any of the Austrian ones. He's never been an Alden Baker guy, that's for darn sure. And he wouldn't be, I'm sure, if he goes over there. Point is, if Sexton goes to Cowie, it unlocks so many weird, or Eli goes to Ducati, or Eli goes to Triumph. Who the heck knows? And if Sexton goes to Cowie, where does Anderson go? It really changes everything if this happens.
Yeah, I was texting with John Tomac this past week about something else. Yeah, but he's the one guy that I'm not asking. I don't want him to fly to my house and beat me down. I don't, you know, so I didn't ask John. But I'm scared. So it's that simple.
I'm scared for you. I thought you were about to say you did, and I'm like,
No.
Well, what is done on this YouTube show when you get turned to stone?
I was texting him about something else. And then I did think, like, hey, should I throw in a question? And I'm like, dude, he's going to fly here and beat me down. No. So, the general. All right. Well, that's a wrap on the first video show. Leafs up 1-0, by the way. Early in the game, they're getting outshot 7-2, so that's not ideal. But again, hope you guys liked it. Hope you enjoy it. But, you know, keep listening to the audio one, too. That's fine also. Whatever your choice is. You can either look at us three idiots and or listen to us three idiots, whatever you want. I know I'm good looking, but I think I'd rather listen.
Is John Tomac's nickname is the General?
Yeah.
Oh, so Brian Deegan and John Tomac's nickname are both the General.
I know. I never thought
maybe
of this.
That was
till
the
right
problem
now.
All along.
Okay.
There's too many generals over there.
This is all news to me. Okay.
And isn't there a General auto insurance too? There's a General auto insurance also. Yeah, so there's that Shaq. General. Yeah, with Shaq.
I think there's a lot of General dislike for you over there too.
Where?
Also, Will Hahn going back over there. Will Hahn going back to start.
Yeah, no one saw that coming. And then Jensen Handler's still staying, but Will's there.
Yeah, they said yes. They said, I think they used the term general manager. Oh, here we go. General manager for Wilbur.
Jensen, general.
I'm the general manager of Pulp MX also. I'd like to put that out there. Yeah, okay. Also. So, all right. Well, listen, thanks to Fly Racing. Use the code Pulp MX when you check out at Fly Racing to get the same gear that Cooper Webb wears, RJ Hampshire and Hymus and Dean Wilson and Justin Brayton, the great Justin Brayton.
Good.
Yeah, he got
so
supplemented gear, Weege. He got supplemented for riding on the track. Meanwhile, I'm out here grinding, going for the ranch, and I've got one set of supplemented gear.
Only one set because you do just this endless amount of motoing during the week.
But yeah, Brayton, won't do it. Brayton does some parade laps at a Fanta practice
on the mothership NBC on a Saturday afternoon, and you think that doesn't warrant sublimated gear? Okay,
I don't know. I'd like to see more sublimation over here.
I bet you would
for my quest for Loretta's.
Maybe put on a Fly shirt instead of that stupid Leaf shirt, and you'd get it.
Okay, fair. Also fair. Yeah. All right, listen, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks to Michael Antonovich for putting this thing all together. And we'll keep doing this thing on video. So, Jason Wygant, Jason Thomas, thanks, boys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.